This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk, the masterclass.
Yes, and this is a masterclass about organizational culture, forging a relationship or a culture of mutual respect amongst colleagues, those you value very much, and those who are just, you know, run of the mill, but everybody has rights, and talent retention. These are really, really significant issues because we spend so much of our day at work. And why should work be the place where emotionally and mentally you feel the most stressed, challenged, belittled and undermined? And those whose task it is to create safer, more pleasant, more functional environments are the jobs of HR practitioners. Another terminology for HR is human capital. The roles are talent management, talent retention, talent protection, which are the three pillars of the work that they do. Not only do they recruit, but they also must nurture a pipeline of people with the skills that are going to add value to the company, but also to train and upskill them, to incentivize them, and to ensure that workers are placed in the best positions for them to grow. There's nothing worse than a mismatch of skills. And research shows that the key reasons why people either stay in a job or leave a job are this: money. Are they properly remunerated and paid? Growth. When somebody feels like they've reached their ceiling and they're ready to do more, are they afforded an opportunity to grow vertically or even along the horizontal plane to do other jobs at the same salary grade? And the organizational culture. You could have a lot of money, you could be the boss and be promoted, but if that place is full of conflict and drama, I can tell you people are going to leave. So HR directors really need to put their fingers on the pulse. And so today we're speaking to an HR specialist and the founder of Blue Eagle Human Capital Practice, Oboniwe Dunster. Oboniwe, good morning.
Good morning, Lerato, and to your listeners as well.
Did I get it right? People stay for the money, for the growth opportunities, and for a great culture. When there's no money, no growth, and the culture ya beta baya hamba na.
Definitely, that is 100%. People are looking at creating meaningful careers for themselves, and those meaningful careers also need to translate into satisfaction that can only be enabled through, you know, a good and a harmonious culture, and also in return, obviously, the benefits, which is your remuneration in any other form of, you know, benefits that an employee can receive.
So I want you first to tell us about great companies and the hallmarks of great organizations. What do they do well?
What great companies actually do well, first and foremost, as a foundation, they will make sure that they really, understand what is their mandate and what are they actually looking to achieve as an organization, and they're able to translate that to all employees across all levels. And then they will have policies and processes in place that enable people to have meaningful engagement and growth within, you know, the organization, which is where your human resources becomes the custodians of those processes and policies. They focus on development of its employees because they understand that people have to grow, you know, and they also need to be continuously upskilling themselves for good results. And also, you know, culture becomes very important as well. So once they master that, it becomes a good way of saying this is a good company to work for, because I just don't go there to work my 8 to 5, but I'm going there to create my culture. I'm going to an environment that is enabling, a culture that allows me to be who I am, or for me to be seen. And also the policies that support people, or, you know, the relationship between an employee and a line manager in terms of having, you know, to engage. Maybe there is a dispute, right? Do we have a grievance process which is clear, you know, and which people can trust? Do we have policies that will be able to guide us if we have differences or we have disputes? So all of those things are the key foundation in creating an organization that people want to work for, or an organization that we say, you know, it's one of the best organizations.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of research to find out who are regarded as the best companies. So globally, we're just going to start globally. We're talking about companies like Cisco, Hilton Hotels, Wegmans Foods, Salesforce, Accenture, Capital One Financials. Those are the ones that keep coming up tops in 2022. And they represent businesses in the hospitality sector, food production, big tech and financial services. And then I looked at the South African top companies, and it's a similar sort of mix. But I'll read you the South African list in a second. So I'm just trying to understand. Hotels, food producers, big tech and financial services. What is it about these sectors of industry that make it attractive for people to come and work for them?
One thing about those companies, or the common denominator with those companies, is that most of the time they are customer-centric because they actually understand where their revenue or their profits are coming from and which is from customers. They need people. But for them to be able to enable that customer centricity, it needs to start internally in the organization by having to look after your employees. And once those employees are well taken care of, then they can translate that into their customers or into the market. You just mentioned, for example, Accenture. And I'm actually saying this because I worked for that company for a good 4 years. So they had a very good employee value proposition. Growth was actually, afforded to employees. It was very competitive in their benefits and in terms of also recognition as well, right? So those are some of the things that people stay for. And obviously the opportunities that you are given during your tenure in that organization. So you don't necessarily have to sit in one position for 5 years, but you can actually move, every year or every second year. And how they manage their staff is actually also based on, on scientific data, right, in terms of your employee movements, the behaviors, employee conduct, and all of those things. So they have information that really supports their decisions and that really supports their employee growth. So those are some of the things that, would actually want to stay in a company for long, just not necessarily because I'm sitting in that position and I'm getting a salary, but what is it beyond me being in this position that makes me sit? So there must be something that I associate with, I relate with, that can make me stay. And most companies need to find that connect.
So in a simple term, because I like to do that to simplify things, if I looked at it in the context of, say, a Power FM or a media house, you come in as a receptionist, but 5 years later, you could very well be a sound engineer or a presenter because you keep on being tested and pushed to try new things.
Sure. And, your leaders are also, are developed and empowered to make such decisions of having to move people around, having to have meaningful and, meaningful conversations with employees. Employees are given the opportunity and the platform to drive their own careers, right? They're given learning opportunities to say, I want to move from here. When you're having a personal development conversation with your line manager, it's not only a tick box exercise, but we know that we're going to review that development plan and how we have tracked, and we will hold each other accountable between employee and a line manager, right? So it's one of those things to say, this is the company and you can grow, and the growth is in your hands, and the growth, it's not really, barricaded or bureaucratic in a sense that it's painful for you to try to jump the hoops to get to your to your next level, and that is what is required.
So I'm going to look at the South African best performers. It's a more extensive list, so I've just broken it down to the 10 that came up. So in South Africa, workplace reviews as well as exit interviews show that the best companies to work for are Vodacom, Investec, Sanlam, Unilever, FNB First Rand, Standard Bank, Absa, Coca-Cola, Adcock Ingram, AstraZeneca, and you will not believe it, Eskom. I nearly fell. But but again, you're seeing here telecoms, banks, asset managers, financial services, pharmaceuticals, these multinational, these companies that trade across the South African borders, even if they are South African companies. What is it about them? And I don't mean per brand. I'm just saying like the sector, asset management, telecommunications, banks, keep so many banks have done well on this kind of listing.
Sure. What is similar with those companies is that most of them, they also operate outside the South African borders. So that provides an opportunity, you know, for growth and for one to expand outside their home country.
Okay.
Secondly, you can also look at the benefits that they offer that attract the people to stay. And if we look, for example, at FNB and Standard Bank South Africa, right, we know that many people that work for these kind of financial services or banks, they will tell you about the benefits, the interest rates, you know, that are lower than what... You know, so that's those things and the learning opportunities as well. And you would know recently that the Vodacom, I think their leader won the CHRO award, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. But that also talks to the attestation of the work that these companies put in their people, right? So it's not about the difference that we're making in the market and in our customers, but what investment are we making in our people? And are we also telling the story so that we are able to attract people? And one thing about these companies, if maybe you look at their data, you'll find that some people that are working there, they are long tenured. And it goes back to my point, they are not long tenured because they don't have anywhere to go. They are long tenured because they see themselves growing within a brand, developing their own careers, and their careers that, you know, would actually even benefit them outside their immediate organizations. So it's such similar things. Are you investing in your people? Do you have the right processes to attract the right talent? And once you have attracted it, do you have mechanisms of, you know, retaining it and growing your talent? Are you developing them so that you know they can grow within the organization as well? And even when they exit, you know, how do you exit them? Because sometimes it's not about, oh, now you're resigning, everybody's angry, everybody's bitter. But you need to make sure that you close the whole value chain properly. And even if you are exiting, but your exit experience, you know, it leaves, you know, a good taste in your mouth to say, I can go out there and be an advocate or an ambassador of this particular brand. And these are some of the things that these people have put in place, or what their ambassadors are saying about their brand.
So it's not when you're leaving, good riddance to bad rubbish, magahambelo. It's not like that.
It's not like, and it does, maybe sometimes it does happen because maybe someone might have been a problematic employee, or someone could have, you know, broken a company rule and taken through a disciplinary hearing, probably committed fraud. Obviously, you would be saying, yeah, maybe it's good, it's good riddance, right? But it's about generally how you manage the exit of that process. Just because the person is being dismissed, it doesn't mean that their exit process has to be horrible, you know? You still have the conversation with the person, you still make sure that their paperwork is processed through payroll on time, that they get their money on time, that their pension fund money is transferred or paid out on time. Just because the exit was a bitter one, it doesn't necessarily have to equate in the experience being a bad one.
Okay. And even though you say people are long tenured and they stay in these companies for 20 years, what's also been found is that some of these companies, in fact, across the board, really, there's a high turnover at about 16%. So staff come in, they stay, they learn, they move vertically, they move horizontally, they do all sorts of jobs, they get training programs, they get paid incentives, but then they leave.
Sure.
Why do they leave?
There could be many reasons why people also leave, even in those conditions. Some people are very ambitious, and their ambition is actually, it's not limited to the space that they are in. And we need to realize there's a war for talent in the market, and like in the country and globally as well. And research has also recently showed that, like, international companies, like, you know, in your Americas and in your European countries, that people are coming to actually get to target, you know, African talent. So if you are given an opportunity by an international company, you become excited at the prospect of having to broaden your horizon, right? And you would also see that you see also a lot of, you know, Gen Zs and millennials also leaving, because that is a group of people that are looking for different opportunities. They're looking at continuously to grow. They're also looking at opportunities for themselves within companies that are addressing some of the socioeconomic conditions that we have in the world or in our respective country. So people leave for different reasons. As much as a company can be good, you will still find people that are people that are leaving because there's something out there with another company that talks to that particular individual that maybe you have not looked into, or it might not be a priority in your company.
Or could it be, just very briefly, could it be that somebody says, I want to go and work for this blue chip top 40 listed company. It's going to look good on my CV. They're going to pay for my trainings. They're going to help me travel the world. And then I'm going to be attractive to the real prize, the real company I want to go and work for ultimately.
Definitely. So employer brand is also very, is very important. There's certain companies that when you have them in your resume, they make it easier for you to move around because they would know that this is a good training ground, or they know the level of exposure that employees in that particular organization, you know, get. And it's the same as I was saying earlier with getting international opportunities. So once a person actually gets to work in a different continent, when they come back to South Africa, we will hold them in high regard purely because we know that they are diverse, they are adaptable, and the skills that they have learned internationally, they are going to bring and implement locally. And that actually then, you know, raises your rate card, your value, you know, and it actually opens many doors for you.
Okay, we're in conversation with Boniwe Dunstan, HR specialist and founder. We're doing a masterclass on human resource management. And in fact, the term is broadened now to talent management, talent retention, human capital development, because there's so much in that employee that needs to be unearthed. And it's HR that needs to do that.
You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
It's a masterclass on talent management, talent retention, human capital and human resources with an HR specialist and founder of Blue Eagle Human Capital Practice, Boniwe Dunster. Boniwe, I see somebody online saying, I wish my HR managers were listening to this conversation right now. This is for them. Now, we spoke about companies that do really well. Let's talk about the bad ones, the ones that don't do really well when it comes to managing talent. What do they get wrong? Where do they go wrong?
At the beginning, you know, with your talent acquisition, when we're going through the sourcing or the recruitment process, as it's commonly known as, right? So what process do you follow? Do you invest in your process and making sure that your process allows you to identify the right person to join your organization? And the people that are part of your panel, which is which includes your line managers, are they well-equipped to be able to identify the right people? But then once the person has landed, how well are you taking care of the person in terms of making sure that you provide the right onboarding? Onboarding is very important. As soon as you get an employee into the organization, it is important to, you know, to induct or to onboard them properly in terms of saying, this is what our organization is doing. These are our competitors. These are the expectations. These are the processes. These are the policies. So we, most companies or some companies that are not doing well, they actually miss that boat. And when you miss it there at the beginning, it, you know, it can be very messy. Then secondly, it goes around, you are working as an employee in that organization, but you've never really had a performance contract. So you don't know actually what is expected of you. What are your KPIs or your objectives? We miss that. Line managers don't understand their role in terms of saying, once an employee is hired into the organization, as the line manager, I am responsible for that employee, and that employee does not belong to HR necessarily. So the performance conversations, they need to happen with the line manager, the discipline needs to happen with the line manager, but you find that the development of the line managers is not there, it's also missing. So if the development of your management layer is missing, then that's going to actually then filter, it's going to have a ripple effect. Or the domino effect, and to an extent that, you know what, people end up having a bad experience, but not necessarily because the entire organization is bad or just maybe because the organization did not develop the management layer in terms of having to manage, you know, people having these conversations and creating that culture. Sometimes then you find that, as I said earlier, there's absence of policies and processes. So when things go wrong, we don't know, you know, which guidance to follow, because stuff is missing. And then you find organizations, especially sometimes in your small and medium enterprises, they don't really put emphasis on human capital. So they don't have a human capital practitioner, or they don't even outsource their services. So they do things whichever way that they think, but then they're doing things which the wrong way. So it's one of those things as well, to say, you know what, your policies are important, your processes are important, they need to be in place, and they also need to be communicated. People need to know what they they mean and where I can actually find them.
Right.
You know, what is the development of myself as a manager and the development of my team,
yeah.
right? And what kind of a culture? We also need to have a conversation around the culture that we want to create in the
yeah.
organization. And you find that that is missing. The culture piece is missing. The
okay.
values part is missing. And we have nothing that grounds us as an organization. So
okay.
such things can actually make us miss the boat in creating that employee
okay.
experience.
I'm going to ask two questions because we're running out of time. So here's the
sure.
thing. So, especially in the media, you know, you've got a concept called talent. And those are usually on air, the public figures. And what gets done really well is protecting the talent because you see them as an extension of your brand. However, that talent alone can't carry the load. They need a very strong production and editorial team. The people, the heroes who are not thanked. But that's where things fall apart very, very quickly in a lot of organizations is that you protect the racehorse,
mm-hmm.
but you don't protect the horse minders.
Sure.
And this could exist across the spectrum, is you've got your top performers, highly motivated and driven. They are incentivized, remunerated, and nobody else on the team is helped to catch up.
That is spot on, Lerato, and it really happens as well in corporate where they call certain people high talent or high post or high performers, right? And they're so well taken care of in terms of their remuneration, in terms of their development, progression, and all of those things. And then the rest of the people, they sometimes get left behind. And hence it is important for organizations to consider all their employees' talent because even your high post, they actually need the rest of the other team members or people in the organization to be able to achieve what they are really working on. And hence, like when you're having your performance conversation, when you are identifying people that are that you want to develop, you know, for other roles, you need to look across the spectrum. It must not only be isolated to a few, because even that higher talent, you find that it culminates to something like 5 or 10%, and that 5 or 10% cannot carry the entire,
okay.
you know, organization. And whatever that you offer, you need to make sure that you offer it across all board. If you're looking after employees, yes, look after employees across. Yes, your high performers, you might want to recognize them, you know, maybe through high pay increases because of the value that they bring on the type of project
yeah.
that they work into, because maybe they're part of your succession planning and then you need to invest more money in terms of the programs that you want them to go into. But that does not mean neglect the rest. That does not mean neglect the backbone, because your consistent performers or, you know, your perform people that are like you rate them as your average performers, those are the people that actually do the hard work.
But what about the dead wood? Many organizations hold on to the dead wood because, he's been here for so long. But this is your drag.
That, yes. And this is where another, you know, value add that human capital can bring. We have performance management, right? How we equip our line managers to manage the people that are not performing and holding them accountable in terms of these are your KPIs, this is what you need to achieve over this particular period, and this is the support that we provide you. And failure for you to do that with all the support, then we need to take that difficult and a brave decision to say, we will take this particular person into a poor performance inquiry and or incapacity, and they might be dismissed for that. Because keeping people that are not performing, and if you're also not doing anything about them, it's a liability to an organization and a very expensive liability.
And then finally, Tyra Banks, believe it or not, did a masterclass on how to ask for a raise. And she said, you don't walk into HR and say, I need a raise because, you know, I've got two kids, I'm a single parent, and, you know, my roof caved in the other day, the geyser burst, and waitie, I work so hard. She said, you'll never get a raise. You need to walk in there and say, this is the value I bring to you. And you need to pay me for my value. So how can people quantify their value?
Definitely. So when you go asking for a raise, be clear on the reason on why you are asking for a raise in the first place, and be able to measure the input that you have provided and what you have worked on. So you need to provide matrix to your performance. This is what was required. I've exceeded what was required of me. This is the value that I have brought into the organization, the money that I have saved, right? Or the collaboration interventions that I have put in place, and go and ask for an increase in line with the value. So they don't give an increase because you've got more responsibilities, but they consider an increase based on the value that you bring into the organization. And in many times, you could have maybe gotten an extra qualification, you could have saved the company money, you could have actually streamlined the processes and brought efficiencies in the way that you're working and improved some of the turnaround times. And those are some of the things that you bring into the organization. Demonstrate your value, and your value will then translate in that salary being reconsidered.
Right. Oh, this has been a great masterclass. Even Marvin is saying, Lerato, it would be nice to have this discussion for longer, please, especially the issue of organizational culture. I'm a millennial software engineer. I don't think we've thought through deeply enough about this sort of thing on different platforms in the country and in business media. Please, can we do this again? So I'm asking of you, Sisboniwe, in the near future, can we do this again? It seems to have landed and translated really well for some of our listeners. We appreciate you. She's the founder of Blue Eagle Human Capital Practice. She herself is an HR specialist, talking to us about what it is to build a great organization and to contribute towards the success of a great organization. From where I stand, Power Talk is a great product, and it's the team that I work with that make it a great product, but it's your input as power listeners that makes it a great product, and I can never say thank you enough. Let's do it again tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.